going to be really emotional. It's not good because we're just starting. But I just wanted to show you some of the faces of the kids that I get to go and minister to. And I know that we are going to spend time to focus on what this means to be as a sending church in the partnership. But I wanted to start there because this night is not about me. It's about what God's doing. And how cool is it that he chooses to use us to be a part of his work? I'm not adequate. I'm not qualified. But God said, hey, go. And I said, okay, I'm going to go. So I just wanted to show you some of the faces of the kids that I get privileged to work with. So many of you know, but I'm going to be going to the, I'm going with Freedom International to the Dominican Republic. And we are in a town called Ramon Santana. And the reason why we chose that area is it's right smack dab in the middle of about 100 sugarcane villages. And we call them bates. They're the poor areas, pretty much the slums of the Dominican Republic. So we wanted to be right smack in the middle of it so we can serve those kids and really love on them. Now, when you guys plan your trip to come visit me or, you know, partner with me in service, you're going to need to know how to get there. So Maddie, you better be paying attention back there for a second. My friend Maddie drew me a map of how to get there. So if you need any instructions on how to get there, you can ask Maddie and she can help you out. I've had the opportunity to go to the Dominican Republic about 5 times. Most of those trips have been me working in the villages, doing different day camps and VBSs. My last trip in August, many of you know, Pastor and Sherry actually got to come and see the ministry and experience it firsthand. So that was such a blessing for them to be able to join me in that. Right now, the ministry primarily exists as a school. And the reason why they chose school is because the education system in the Dominican Republic is pretty broken. A lot of the teachers just don't care. The teachers that do care, unfortunately, they don't have a quality education. So the education that they're giving is just not quality for these kids. A lot of the villages don't have junior highs or high schools, so they don't even have the option to go to higher education. So we saw it was a need, but even more so, what a tool for the kingdom of God. Between pre-K 3 and 12th grade, we have 18,000 hours of time with these kids. Yes, to give them a good education, but teach them about the Lord, to teach them how to study scripture, to teach them of the truths of the gospel. So, It's beautiful opportunity and tool for that. Right now, we actually have about 300 kids in our school, and we are serving pre-K 3 through 5th grade. Each year, we're going to add a grade. So next year, our 5th graders will move up to 6th grade. Then the next year, 6th grade will move up to 7th grade until we get up to 12th grade. Right now, our school is not fully built. So it's still in the works of being built. Here's a picture of it, actually. We're about 1/3 of the way built. So you can see the orange and blue structure there in front. It's only about 1/3 of the way built. That's actually going to be an octagon. So that's going to go all the way around. That structure in the middle is kind of a multi-purpose area. We feed the kids breakfast and lunch every day. And so that's where the meals are served. That's where they do chapel. If there's any type of program or they just need a large it's not indoor because it's pretty much open, but covered area to do an activity, that's where they go. You'll notice in the very far back, I don't know if the laser will go, no, we can't really see it. In the very far back, there's an orange and white building. That white building is where the families, the missionaries with families live. The orange building right next to it, they actually just finished. So that's super exciting. That is now where the missionary teams are going to stay. So they're not going to stay in a classroom anymore. when we were there before with Pastor and Sherry, that's where they had the mission trip team staying. But we now have the ability for them to stay in an apartment, a little bit nicer area. Our interns are going to stay in there. And as we grow, new missionaries will stay in there. You will see to the right, there's kind of a tan building that's a little bit lower. I will live in the upstairs of that. There's a 2-bedroom apartment. So me and another single gal are actually going to live in that space right there. But right now, our team consists of 8 missionary families. Where am I supposed to point this? Okay, there we go. 8 missionary families that right there. Thank you very much. 8 missionary families. And I was asking my friend, how many MKs are there, missionary kids? Because I was looking at this picture. I'm like, that seems like more than 8 families. There's 19 kids. So the kids definitely outnumber the adults. Besides myself, there's one other single adult that is raising support in 2 other families. So they're also right on track with me to hopefully go out soon and join the ministry. All right, so as you know, school is the primary ministry, but I get to do camp, which is a new tool. We actually just made a new video to kind of introduce that ministry, so we're going to show that to you now.
Did you know that Freedom is starting a camp ministry? We've actually been doing camp on a small scale over the past year or so, but now we're ready to start offering overnight, week-long experiences for our students. Why camp, you might ask? Well, come let us show you.
Camp is another tool for us to use to build into the lives and teach the Word of God in a unique and different environment than the school setting. Camp uses unique experiences, victories, challenges, ordinary moments throughout the day as teachable moments. Another aspect that makes camp unique is its use of the outdoor setting. God uses His creation to draw us to Himself and to show His majesty. What an opportunity to pull our kids out of their normal routine, which allows them to think about the most important things in life, to ponder their current choices that they're making, to think about their future, and to really dive into God's Word and consider the truth that He has for them and that He loves them. From pre-K 3 to 12th grade, we get 18,000 hours of time with these kids in the school setting. Just think about the hours we're going to add with camp ministry. Change takes time, and we're in this for the long haul.
So if you know my story at all, you know that camp has played such a huge role. I grew up going to camp ever since I was in 3rd grade. It was the atmosphere of camp and the people of camp that really touched my heart to help me understand what the gospel truly meant and to realize it was more than just knowing all the stories, but it was about having a personal relationship with Him. It was at camp in Indiana where I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. It was also at camp where God really challenged me to open up the grip I had on what I thought I wanted to do in my comfort and say, okay, Lord, no, what is it that You want me to do? And yes, I'm willing to do it even if it's out of my comfort zone. As you know, I've had the opportunity to serve full-time at Scioto Hills for the past 8 years. So I pretty much haven't missed a summer since 3rd grade to now of being at camp, whether it's been on the camper side or the staffer side. So camp has played a huge role in my life, and I am super excited to be able to go down to the Dominican and be a voice in the development as they figure out what is camp going to look like in the Dominican Republic. And as we think through how can we partner the school ministry that's currently going on with this new camp ministry to reach these kids. And then as it gets going, to help them lead the program and come up with some of those ideas. So I'm super excited that God has placed this opportunity in my lap, you know, of something that has, a tool that has been so powerful in my life and something I'm so passionate about. And now I get to go help and do what was so touched me so much. I get to help be that for these other kids. Sorry, I'm having trouble with the clicker. As you saw in the picture, or the video, you saw this picture. You may say, hey, why did they show this picture in the video? Well, that is our camp right now. It's pretty much trees and, well, kind of, not really trees, but shrubs and thorns and, you know, just all of that. And so when I was there in August, I actually got to meet with the director and one of the other missionaries, and we just daydreamed, okay, what do we want this camp to look like? What buildings do we need to start with? What needs to be in the buildings? And so it's been exciting just to be a part of that process. When I was there again in August, you know, having several conversations with the director, I was in his office, and he had some notes on his whiteboard, and I said, hey, can I take a picture of that? Because I was thinking that those notes, those scribbles are a big deal. Now, I don't know if you can get why that's a big deal or not, so I'll help you out here. In August, he had this on his whiteboard, clearing the camp in December and starting camp in April. So we have pushed back clearing the camp to January, but the reason why we're clearing it is so that we can get ready for the first building. We're actually right now in the middle. A donor has given toward camp, so every dollar that someone gives, it will be doubled. And so that those funds that come in right now will be towards clearing the camp, towards utilities, toward building that first meeting area, multi-purpose area, and hopefully our first cabin, depending on, again, what the finances are and how much God brings in. So it's super exciting. It's happening now. This summer, we won't have all the buildings ready, so this summer we'll just be doing day camp, and that will be primarily at the school, but we're hoping the summer of 2020 to actually have overnight week-long camp. Now, we're not going to be able to serve all 300 kids at the same time, so it will be smaller groups, but again, as time comes, as finances come, we'll be able to build the camp more and more to have that traditional kind of camp experience. In the school, they go through a hallway to go to their recess time, okay? And there's a bulletin board. On the bulletin board, it says this camp. So this, we're trying to get the kids excited about what's to come. So they know, hey, we're going to get to do camp. You know, they don't necessarily understand exactly what that means. But you'll see it there. There's two pictures. They're kind of small, but that is a picture of what we're hoping our cabins will look like. So we're going to have them in pods, groups of three. And we're envisioning some sort of structure that's an octagon in shape that's slightly off the ground. So, again, we're excited not because, you know, it's cool and off the ground, but because the conversations that are going to be built in there, the conversations that are going to be had in there and the relationships that are going to be built in there and how God's going to use that ultimately for His glory. So that's a little bit of what's going on in the ministry, but I would be missing it if I didn't stop and just share some of the stories of how God has been providing along the way. Man, if I really shared every detail, we could be here all night with what God is doing. And so I just want to share a few specific stories of how God has been paving the way. First, giving me opportunities to go to different churches and to different Bible studies and different individuals and just share what God is doing. It's been a huge blessing. This actually is a picture of my cousin's church, and so that was super cool to see him preach and be able to be at his church and share. Another thing is when I was living here in Ohio, I got to meet with Bethany Weekly and have Spanish lessons. After I moved from Ohio, I lived with Matt and Abby Fawcett for a while. Just happened to be that Abby's best friend was a high school Spanish teacher and getting her master's in Spanish. And when I say happened to be, I mean, how cool is that? God planned that out, didn't he? So I got to meet with her and also just start to get some of these Spanish basics down. Now, I have a long way to go with Spanish, and my first year while I'm there, I will be spending a lot of time studying the language. Another blessing that I would just like to share with you, was it a month ago? A while back ago, I got to go to a camp conference. This is a conference that Scioto Hills sends their staff to every year, and so this is probably my eighth or ninth conference, I'm not really sure. And I had the opportunity to share with them, again, what God's doing in the ministry. And at these conferences, my clicking skills are not great, but we're working with it. At these conferences, camp staffs come together from all over the U.S., and they come together to fellowship, to share some of the struggles of life doing ministry, and specifically camp ministry. So some of the struggles, some of the joys, but really just to recharge and then be able to go out afresh and minister to kids and adults in the camp setting. Well, one, it was just a blessing to go and be recharged and see some friends. Man, I've built some super close relationships with some of the people that attend this conference. But God orchestrated that the finances for the auction. Every year they have an auction, and the auction proceeds go towards some sort of camp ministry. So this year I was contacted and said, hey, Jade, we really like to get a part of sending you. So we would like our auction proceeds to go toward your startup costs. And so, again, praise the Lord that God provided that. Typically, now that's awesome just in and of itself, but typically the auction proceeds have been around $2,000. That's a lot of money, okay? This year, they raised double that. They raised over $4,000 at this auction, and that got to go towards my startup costs. So again, God is just in this. I thought of one more story that's not on my slide, but I have to share this. I have a relative that wanted to be a part of my monthly support team. But their finances were a little bit tight, but they chose to give in faith. And they contacted my mom, actually, so I heard the story through her, but they contacted my mom and just said, you know, hey, we're excited to be a part of Jade's support team. You know, we're trusting because, you know, finances are a little bit tight. Well, right after they gave, one of them does woodworking and has an Etsy shop. And so right after they gave, the exact amount of money that they chose to give me for the year, they got that much in orders for their Etsy shop. And so again, God is just, not only in my life, but in other people's life as they partner with me, it's just awesome. And again, I could go on for a while, but God is in this, and it's been incredible to be a part of it and to see what he's doing along the way. One of the biggest ways that he is providing is, guys, I'm at 93% support. Like, that's awesome. And that's totally God. That's totally God. That's not me. I sometimes struggle with my words. I don't know if you can tell that or not. So it's not me. It's totally God that is providing. And with pledges, I'm even closer. I'm really close to being fully funded. And so, man, praise the Lord for that. The goal remains to depart in January. And so that is the goal right now. Well, first, before I go there, I want to stop and say thank you. Thank you for partnering with me in this ministry. Thank you for your prayers. Please know they do matter, and I feel like your prayers are really what has gotten me through the past few months, because, again, coming up in front of and speaking in front of my people, kids, yeah, love it. Adults, not my thing. So, but your prayers, many of you have asked, when are you presenting? And you've been praying me through all of my appointments, and you've been praying me through all of my presentations. So thank you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for partnering with me financially. I'm excited. I think one day you guys are going to plan a trip, and so I'm excited for that, what that may look, and whatever God's timing. So thank you for your partnership. Two prayer requests I have, though. Paperwork. There's a lot that goes into getting residency over there, applying for different things, needing copies of birth certificates, and having to get them notarized and then notarized again. And anyways, there's just a lot of paperwork. And so one of the things that may affect my depart date is if I can get all the paperwork in time. And so I know that God is ultimately in control of that. So if you guys would just join me in praying for God's timing. And so if that means it doesn't come in time and I have to push my date back, then God's in control of that. But pray with me that it will come in God's timing. Another prayer request, where I am, monthly support, we're almost there. And so God has been providing in a mighty way. Where I am a little bit behind is on my startup costs. And so those are things, you like all my pictures, like a bed, a dresser, getting some of my belongings down there, shots, paperwork, the paperwork, even though it's a paper, that stuff costs money to mail it and all this stuff. Refrigerator, a vehicle, all those things, would be included in my startup costs. So I am a little bit behind in my startup costs. And so, again, I'm trusting that God is going to provide the amount that he has set. And so if I don't reach the full amount, then I'll probably just not be able to get a car right away when I get down there. And that will be okay. But, again, my goal is to reach the goal that they set for me. as much as I can. That way, when I'm down there, I don't have to worry about, you know, raising more funds, and I can just focus on the ministry at hand. Okay, sorry. I feel like I've probably been talking fast. I'm just so, it's exciting. you guys saw as you walked in, I have a booth, and so if you haven't signed up for my prayer letter yet, I would love for you to do that. That way you can also see. You guys are partnering with me in the ministry, and I truly see that it as that. And so I would love for you to be able to hear what God is doing and see what you're, you know, giving to the church and what your prayers are doing, because you are a part of this. And so please sign up for my prayer letter. That way you can know what's going on, be informed of specific prayer requests that are going on. I also have prayer cards, so please feel free to take one of those just as a reminder to pray for what's going on in the Dominican Republic, for the kids that are there, for our team down there. On the flip side of the prayer card, I have my contact information. So if you would like to shoot me an email or have a question or anything like that, feel free to reach out to me. But thank you again so much. I truly feel you guys are family, and so I'm thankful to have you guys on my team, and that's what I have to share for right now.
Wow, that was exciting. Do you know how long it takes the average missionary to raise their support? I don't either. But I'll tell you what, it is a lot longer than 6 months. I've talked to missionaries at missionary conferences and things like that, and some of them have been raising support for 4-5 years. You wouldn't know. I would say the average would probably be 4 years, something like that. So, Jade, be very thankful. You are entering one of the greatest ministries possible, and you've been involved in that for years, and I count it a great privilege and a joy to be a part of your commissioning service. So I want you right up here right now. Right here. I want you to be close so you can really pay attention to what I have to say. As I was preparing this, I thought, what have I learned over the last 72 years of life, 40-some years of ministry, 15 years in cross-culture ministry that I could share with you that would help you? Then I began to pray, and the Spirit of God said, Gary, what you have experienced won't help much. Charge her with what I said, not what you experienced. So as I began to look into God's word, I saw God's charge to his people everywhere. So this is God's charge for you today. I will be delivering it as his messenger. Jade Burley, God's charge is that today, December 16, 2018, you are a soldier of Jesus Christ, and you are ready for battle. Jade, you are charged to remember who you are. 1 Peter 1, 1 and 2 says, you are God's elect. You are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. You are anointed through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. You are to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Jade, you are charged to remember your responsibility. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Be steadfast. It's an active word. You must keep on standing. Never quit serving Christ. This is your lifelong call. Your lifelong call is not to a place, but it's to serving Christ with your whole life. Be immovable. Be a giant oak, not a tumbleweed. Stick to it. Be grounded in the Word of God. Be always abounding. That doesn't mean just doing the work. It means thriving in the work of the Lord. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not men." Be knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. There will be a reward in the final day. In Matthew 16:27, it says, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of the Father with his angels, and then he will reward every man according to his works." Jade, you are charged. Remember 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong, doing everything in love. Be on guard. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert." Be alert. Remember that word, be alert. Be watchful. Your enemy, the devil, is around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. What he wants most is to destroy you and your testimony. So be alert. Be standing firm in the faith. Be courageous. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that lies within you." Be strong. And then over all of that, be doing everything in love. Jade, the greatest command is to love God and love others, even as Christ has loved you. How do we do that? 1 Corinthians 13, of course. Jade, be patient. If that extra money doesn't come in quick, be patient. Be kind. Don't envy. Don't boast. Don't be proud. Don't dishonor others. Don't be self-seeking. Don't be easily angered. Don't keep a record of wrongs. Don't delight in evil. Rejoice in the truth. Always protect. Always trust. Always hope. Always persevere. Jade, you are charged to remember Psalms 115:3. God is sovereign. Our God is in heaven. He does all that he pleases. Remember, you're not in the Dominican Republic by mistake. God sent you there. There will be times that you will wonder, what am I doing here? But it's no mistake. God is sending you. Philippians 4:19, "My God will meet all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus." Lamentations 3:23-24, "Because the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Jade, you are a lot of things to be charged with. Jade, you are charged to remember Psalms 115:1. God deserves the glory. "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory. For the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness." Psalms 113:3, "From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised." "Never look at accomplishments as yours, but God's." And I could hear that very clearly through your testimony, that not unto you, but to God be the glory. And remember, to God be the glory for what he has done, what he's doing, and what he will do in the future. Jade, you are charged to remember God is your help in times of trouble. Psalms 115:11. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is your help and your shield. Psalms 46:1. God is your refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. Always take refuge in our sovereign God. Psalms 141:8. My eyes are fixed on you, O sovereign Lord. I take refuge in you. And that needs to be your attitude. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Psalms 91:14-15. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. So remember that your help comes from above, from the Lord. And when trouble comes, refuse. Refuse to try to have an answer why. And try to say, well, and explain everything. Because God knows all about it. And center your attention on the future benefits, not on the present pain. God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him in Matthew 25:34-46. Then hold close to the sovereignty of the Almighty. God is in control of all things. Jade, P.S. You know, there's always a P.S. You are charged to remember God uses people to help you. I'm going to loan you something. I'm going to loan you $20. Now, this is a loan. Okay, everybody see that? A loan. I'm going to loan you something this day for a day of trouble. Here's a $20 bill. I want you to put this in your wallet, and I want you to always carry that with you. And if there's a day that you're in trouble and you need gas, or if you need some food, or maybe you'll need to make a phone call, you'll have $20. But you know what? There's always a catch when I give away money. And the catch is that any time you use this $20, I want you to replace it back in your wallet so that you'll always have $20 to help you out of a little jam. It won't get a ticket to fly you home, but it may give you a phone call that others can help you get home. Now, if there's ever a time I come to you and say, Jade, do you have $20 in your pocket? And you say, no, I'm sorry. You owe me $20 back. Okay. But as long as you keep the 20 there, it'll be yours forever. Okay. We love you, and may God bless you in this ministry.
Bob, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Just 1 minute. Gary just finished giving the charge to Jade, and this is the perfect time now. As a missionary who was sent out from this church back in the 60s and has spent your life as a missionary, you know what it's like to be on the receiving end of a challenge to go from a church. And I'd like for you to, if you want to say a word or two, fine, but then I'd like for you to lead us in a special prayer for Jade to encourage, for her encouragement and help. So, but welcome. The church family is listening to you now. If there's anything you want to say, and then we'll give you the opportunity to pray.
Okay. I just wanted to say, first of all, thanks to the church for being behind me and supporting me and being part of my ministry from the very first day until now. And it's a privilege to be able to be with you tonight and to share in this special occasion. And I pray that you will give her joy in her ministry, and you'll give her fruitfulness. That some of these children that you'll be working with in school and camps, that they will be the beginning of a generation, multi-generations of those who love you.
Yes.
And use these children that you will reach by your grace to reach families and to reach out through families to communities, so that through this, lives will be changed and you will be glorified. And as she goes now, Lord, give her your peace, give her joy in the calling that you've given to her, and may she always be aware that you are there, whatever may come, whether it's times of rejoicing or whether it's times of difficulty, may she be aware of your presence with her. And Lord, we know that you rejoice, you have joy in our adoration, but you also have joy in giving us the things that we need, because they are a part of your gift to us. So bless her, strengthen her, and give her a fruitful ministry, and may she have joy in you. Mm-hmm. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bob. We'll be in touch.
Okay, bye.
Jade, as you've been praying for God's provision of support, He is constantly at work, and we have an answer to at least part of that prayer tonight. Here is a card and a gift from Scioto Hills Camp, and I put on my board member hat at Scioto Hills. Scott and Pam, of course, couldn't be here tonight, but there's a gift of money from the camp and for you and towards your ministry there. He continues to provide, and the camp's very excited about what God's doing in your life. As I deliver just a brief now charge to the congregation, we too have responsibility in this venture. What's involved in being a sending church? There's so many passages that come to mind. We could look at Matthew 9, pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send laborers into the harvest. We could look at Acts 13, set apart for me Saul and Barnabas. We could look at Acts 16, where the church set apart Timothy to go with Paul into that missionary effort. We could look at Philippians 2, where the church set at Philippi, sent Epaphroditus to serve Paul. But there's another passage, it's an often overlooked passage, I'd like to just take just a few moments to look at, and it's in the tiny little book of 3 John. 3 John was written by the Apostle John around the years 85 to 95, towards the end of his life. He had heard something happening in some churches that burdened him greatly. He wrote this to his dear friend Gaius, 3 John 1 says, and he has this to say. The passage that I want to read is 3 John verses 5 through 8. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you're doing for the brothers, even though they're strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought, therefore, to show hospitality to such men so that we may work together for the truth. What's involved in being a missions-minded church? What's our responsibility as a sending church? We see the answer right here. We see that the church has responsibilities. We see that the church is responsible to take action and not just talk about the need. This word doing, you are faithful, verse 5, in what you're doing for the brothers, he says to Gaius. Anybody can claim to be concerned for lost people. Any church can say, we're for missions, but you know that by the action that precedes. The willingness specifically to reach out. You are faithful in what you're doing for the brothers, even though they're strangers to you. Strangers. This indicates these were people that Gaius and the house church that he was a part of were reaching out to those they didn't know to assist them in accomplishing a mission that Christ has given to his church. It takes love. Verse 6, they have told the church about your love. Apparently, these traveling missionaries, these preachers, had returned to the church where John was living and serving, and they'd reported back about the church where Gaius was, and they gave a very positive testimony about this man and the church there. Notice the relationship between missions and love. It takes sacrificial service. John said Gaius would do well if he sent these missionaries on their way in a manner worthy of God. Notice how being a missionary-minded church means being missionary-minded individuals. Every one of us tonight as a church, the formula is not complicated. You need a bunch of people like Gaius if you're going to be the kind of church God wants you to be as a sending church. And may God help us to be like Gaius. The missionary has responsibilities. John talks about that in verse 7, that he must live with the right goal, that he must be willing to go, that he must refuse to do God's work the world's way. He talks about how we don't take money, we don't take our cues, we don't take our strategy from the world. We are Jesus' people, and we trust that Jesus will provide as missionaries. And the church and the missionary that goes have this responsibility together. Verse 8, the church must exhibit hospitality. The missionary and the church must be willing to work together. We see the negative example when he mentions Diotrephes in verse 9. He was not a team player. This Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. Apparently, these missionaries were coming, and this man in the church named Diotrephes was not cooperating with the work that God wanted to do in their lives. And John has to write to correct this situation, to commend Gaius and the church. Don't give in to this effort. There will always be those that want to squelch the generosity that it takes to send those to the field. The missionary and church must possess a devotion to make the truth known. And he gives the example in the positive note of Demetrius there late in the letter. For the sake of the truth. Now, I close the charge to the church with just this very important question. Why? As in, why in the world would we want to send someone we love very much, who's gifted in very significant ways, from here to go somewhere else? We need what we have right here. I mean, we're not a large church. We need every person we have. So how would we answer that objection, that question? We could answer it in several ways. One, by sending Jade, we are obeying the Lord's great commission. Go into all the world. This is the commission. She's responding. We are obeying the Lord's great commission. This would be true. Why send Jade? In some ways, we're becoming the answer to our own prayer. We have prayed many times to the Lord of the harvest that He would send laborers into the harvest. And so we have the privilege to be our own part of the answer to that prayer request. We're certainly modeling by sending Jade the Lord's teaching, who said, "Do to others as you would have them to do unto you." If we were in a place where we didn't have the sound of the gospel, and we knew that there were people somewhere else that had the sound of the gospel and cherished that message of Jesus Christ and had people that could come to us, we would want them to do that. And the great love challenge that Jesus gave certainly is incentive. But there's another reason. I just want to close with this. We may right now, in this action we're taking tonight, be preparing the very people that Wheelersburg Baptist Church will need in 10 years. 2005, we sent another from our midst to serve in South Brazil. It's good that Aaron's with us tonight. 2 years ago, the Lord sent to us some of the fruit of that investment. And I'd like for Douglas to come up here and just share the story of that investment. So. So we have self-seeking reasons for sending our sister. We really do. We will gain far more than we ever give. That's just the way God always works. This is just so humbling to think about. So, at this time, if you would take your bulletin out, and you'll see a green sheet. In that, if you came into the room without that green sheet, just share with one another. Everyone's going to need, because we're going to now enter into a church and missionary covenant. And we have some extras there, if you'll just raise your hand if you need one. Jade, if you'll come up and stand by me, where it says church, we will all read together. And then Jade will be reading, obviously, where it says Jade. And it's a very special privilege we have to make this commitment to the Lord and to each other. So reading in unison where it says church. Having been saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and realizing that God's message of salvation is for all men, we, a group of believers, join together in this local church, commission and send forth with joy Jade Burley to bear the message of the gospel to needy souls in the Dominican Republic.
Believing that I have been led of God to present my life in service to Him, by His grace, I will go and invest my life in the ministry which I received from Him, testifying solemnly of the gospel of His grace.
As your sending church, we will surround you and your ministry in prayer. As we pray faithfully, we are confident that God will use those prayers to accomplish great things for His glory in the Dominican Republic.
I, too, will join in prayer for you, my sending church, trusting God to do great things here through you.
Desiring to see the gospel of Christ advance around the world, we commit ourselves to meeting your needs through faithful financial support.
With deep gratitude for these gifts provided by my Heavenly Father through you, I desire to be a good steward of what He has given and will strive to use each dollar as He would guide and direct.
We do thus join with you in ministry. As Romans 10 states, how can they preach except they be sent? It is our privilege to send you to share His truth and to reach the lost in the Dominican Republic.
It is a great joy to have you join me as partners in ministry, co-laborers in the Lord. May God be pleased to use us as we partner together to reach the lost in the Dominican Republic and bring glory to Himself.
We do now, in the presence of God and invoking His greatest blessing, solemnly and gladly commission you, Jade Burley, to go forth to serve the Lord, the Dominican Republic, with Freedom International.
Recognizing my dependence on God, I accept this commission and the responsibilities and privileges it entails. Joyfully, I go forward to testify to the glory and goodness of God. May He be praised through the sacrifice of service together.
Amen. My joy to present now our missionary Jade Burley for a prayer of dedication. What we want to do is I'd like to have Jade's mom come and join Jade. If you would just stand right here, right in front of me. And those who are from other churches that have joined us tonight, would you come also and just gather right around here? And I'd like for our deacons to come and just gather right around here. We're going to kind of all be together here. So I know Pastor Gowdy had to leave to go to their service tonight. But our deacons just sort of gather around, and We're going to just have a special time of prayer now as we dedicate our sister and ourselves to this wonderful privilege. So our deacons have come, and so what I'd like is to just open up a time for prayer. Maybe a couple of our deacons, if you would lead out in this prayer.
Father, it delights our heart to see